Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your host and radio health evangelist, Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the Electronic Sniffer Dog Show because I like the idea of electronic sniffer dogs. We will explain this in our first fractional portion. Thanks to our listeners at True Talk Internet Radio and here from the University of Kentucky, the manager of communications infrastructure, to explain to you our web presence. As always, Rick Phillips. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Tony. You know, you can get the audio of the show from WMKY.org. That's right, WMKY.org. Moorhead State Public Radio's fine website. Just jump on over to Health Matters, look for all those more recent shows, read the summary, listen to the show, send the link to your friends, create Christmas presents with them. There is a ton of things you can do. I mean, it's October. It's not too early to start talking about Christmas presents. And right there is a plethora of wonderful gifts that you can send out. So, WMKY.org for listening, Facebook.com/HM Radio Show, or just do a search for Health Matters Radio Show. You'll find us, like us. That's the fan page for Health Matters. There you will come across interesting tidbits. It's your chance to interact with us, ask us some questions, share with us some information, get some show topics, tell us we are kind of crazy or not crazy or who knows what you can do there. The point is, you can do it, and that's the place to interact with the show. Again, Facebook.com/HM Radio Show.
Our sponsor, returning after a long absence, the Vaccination League, reminding you, don't be late. Vaccinate. Vaccination, the all-natural way to take care of those nasty viral and bacterial illnesses without resorting to use of chemical vitamins and antibiotics. Vaccination like Mother Nature with a 23-gauge needle, and we are talking about flu vaccination. This was a poster presented at the International Conference on Emerging Infectious Diseases, and I believe this was in Atlanta, and this showed that influenza vaccination offered very strong protection for about 6 months and then dropped off rather dramatically. So if you're thinking right now, it is October, 6 months from October, happens to be April. Influenza season will probably be over by April. If you are holding off, you should go ahead and get your flu vaccine now. Now is the perfect time to do it. In our next fractional portion, we will talk some about the different methods of getting flu vaccine. You have a lot of choices now. And we'll talk about that. Remember, everyone over age 6 months is recommended to get flu vaccine, including and especially pregnant women. This turns out to be a very, very important preventative service for pregnant women. This is something that we believe in. Many healthcare workers are now under a mandate to get influenza vaccine. We believe that this helps to save lives. So get your flu shot. It is time, and you should get 6 months of protection according to this poster presented. That's our sponsor, the Vaccination League. Don't be late. Vaccinate. Now, the sniffer dog thing, Greg, we have had various times on the show. We have talked about cancer dogs, seizure dogs. We talked about rats. We've talked about other things that seem to use their sense of smell. In physical diagnosis, there are certain bacterial infections that smell a certain way. I still remember one of the cases when I, as an abused medical student, I actually had a resident shove my head down into an open wound so that I could smell what Pseudomonas smells like.
Ew.
Yep, not fun. I did not touch the wound. But still, I do not need other people shoving my head down. But this was part of medical training at the time. It's something that I've tried to keep my medical students from having to experience. But we know that, or we suspect, that there are some what we call volatile organic compounds that are released by cancerous cells. We can find those in human urine back to 1971. Back in 1989, there were two dermatologists who wrote to The Lancet about a woman who had a melanoma dog. She said she came to the dermatologist. She said, "My dog sent me here." And of course, they thought, well, she should probably visit the psychiatrist that's actually
right
one floor up.
Next,
but still,
yes, yeah,
she actually was quite sane and quite with her wits. She had a dark spot on her upper leg. Her doctor said it was a mole, not worth removing, and she was content with that. But her dog continually sniffed and scratched that spot. One day, it pounced on her, and it nipped at the mole trying to bite it off. And so she decided to get a second opinion, went to the dermatologist, had it removed, and it was, in fact, a melanoma.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had all kinds of dogs like that?
You know, I really think if my dogs could actually smell a melanoma on my leg, they would just try to hump it. I don't think there would be any frantic efforts to remove the mole or anything. My dogs are just not that kind of dogs.
Hmm.
I'd say, huh, I guess we'll need a new master in a few years. Yeah, I don't. My dogs are not, you know, they,
well,
they're nice, they're friendly, but I just don't trust them.
The people that have been with us all these years, you've got your issues. I mean, I know.
I am a dog guy with reservations. That's the thing.
Yeah,
I am not a full-blown dog guy.
You had one dog that chewed the electrical wires out of your car on a regular basis.
Yeah, I was always under this dog. When he was a puppy, he'd go under the truck. One time, I was at the hospital, and it was dark. I'd been working all day, and I pulled my truck out, and I have no lights. I actually had to call my wife to pick me up because he had disabled my car. And that's the thing. What kind
of dog? He ran under a tree that you had cut down.
There was a broken leg, and I will take responsibility for that. A tree fell on the dog. It was not vindictive. It was nothing personal. The tree fell on the dog. But the fact that dog would leave me at work without being able to get home, I think that was personal and vindictive. I've never trusted that dog.
Yeah, I know. I know you've had issues. So, I mean, these are kind of compelling facts you're putting out.
But this woman, she's got a dog. I would like this dog. A dog that, I don't know, a dog that chews at your moles?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to wonder about that. But
my dog would just pick a mole and chew it just to make me have surgery. That's the kind of dog I've got. I know that.
Yeah, but your dog would chew where there's not a mole.
Back to the story. 2001, 66-year-old man, dog provoked him to get a second opinion about an unusual mole. So in 2004, there's an orthopedic surgeon in England, John Church. They ran the first proof of principle to see if dogs could identify cancer from urine samples. They have 7 months of training, six dogs presented with urine samples from people who either had bladder cancer or didn't. The dogs could pick out the correct samples 41% of the time. Now, you would say, well, a quarter could pick it out 50% of the time.
Wow.
But it turns out that's actually pretty impressive.
Right.
Because they had to either say yes or no rather than just saying, I guess so.
Right.
And so it's not bad. And they said they have better methods trained to think it could do better than that. In 2014, a guy named Gianluigi Taverna in Milan, Italy, 5 months training two German shepherds from the Ministry of Defense. And you think about that just a minute. So the Italian Ministry of Defense apparently loans German shepherds to medical people.
Okay.
I don't know how this worked, but he did. And he trained them to detect the smell of prostate cancer, and they were supposed to sit down if the sample was cancerous. They analyzed 900 urine samples. Both dogs identified accurately those that came from men with prostate cancer 98% of the time.
Wow.
And that's better than a PSA test. So think about it. You know, you get a CAT scan, you get a dog scan. It turns out the dog scan is better than the CAT scan.
All those movie jokes about a dog scan. Turns out somebody else is going to get the last laugh.
Yeah, these dogs were pretty darn good. And the thing, you know, we've given up on the PSA. So the fact they're better than a PSA, well, they would have to be. But still, if you think about that, a dog that sits is better than a PSA. And that's, 98% of the time, that's a pretty darn good dog.
Are you able to get your dogs to sit?
My dogs will not even sit for anything 98% of the time.
Yeah, they won't sit for dinner.
No, I'm embarrassed by that. I guess I should stop talking about my dogs. You would think I could make them sit. But in fact, what happens, if you ever come out to my house, my dogs will run in front of your car and make you stop.
Right. Well, that's security.
Or run over them.
Well, that's security.
Yeah, or
dead dogs. Only nice people come to your house.
Sure. People who will slow down when the dogs run in front of the car. And I've said sit, I've said stay. And I will say my dog stays for a while, and then he gets nervous, and he just kind of gets up and comes on anyway.
Yeah, that whole stay command, that's hard on
him. It's a temporary thing.
Yeah, I mean, how long can you reasonably expect them to stay?
I expect them to stay until my teenage girls. No one actually, as far as obedience training, I don't think anybody's been very much big on obedience. Mozambique, and the capital Maputo, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, they had giant African rats. They detected tuberculosis. In the first 16 months of that program, they evaluated samples from 12,000 people tested for TB. 1,700 were positive, and they found another 700, almost 800 cases by smelling the samples and checking TB. This is, again, this was back in, I guess it was in 2012, but a lot of us were familiar with those. Rats have been used to find landmines, so the fact is they got a very sensitive sense of smell. They're intelligent, and they can discover tuberculosis as well. Fruit flies, can you believe that?
Right.
This was from, again, from New Scientist. And I don't know a study with fruit flies, but apparently fruit flies could detect cancer. And wouldn't that just be the pits? You're in the doctor's office, they release a bunch of flies, and the flies come and land on your cancer.
Ooh.
One, you've got cancer. Two, you got flies all over you.
And you know they're not all going to land right there. They're all going to be kind of around it.
One of them is going to fly in your ear.
Ugh.
One of them will, fruit flies, you know, they're small, they'll fly in your ear.
So,
I tell you what.
Yeah, now you know why the dogs are so pleasing to talk about, because who wants to deal with rats and flies?
Yeah, well, rats could be okay.
No.
Flies never.
Come on. No, name one person who's going to like having a rat sniffing around on them.
Michael Jackson.
No, I don't even think he would.
Okay. That was too soon.
yeah, too soon. Now, how long has he been gone? Five years, 6 years?
Well,
that's too soon.
He did record Ben, though. That's my point. Yeah. You know, it was not just a random name. Electronic sniffer dogs. This is where this came from. Again, new scientists, they said, well, dogs are great, but couldn't we make a robot to do this? So they have a handheld breathalyzer for lung cancer trialed in British hospitals to see how accurate it is. Coin-sized chip to analyze the breath for traces of volatile compounds emitted by cancer, like a sniffer dog on a mobile phone. I like the idea of a sniffer. If my dog were on a phone, I would tell it to sit, and then I wouldn't have to worry about it.
It does make you wonder that the dog is sniffing something. So cancer is emitting some smell. And how do you isolate that and determine what that is, and that's what they're smelling? If they can figure that out, then obviously the smell-o-matic. I think it was in that movie, Richie Rich. You know, the Smellmaster 2000. You know, at that point, it will be able to detect cancer. And so it is an interesting thing that if the dog can sense it or smell it, there has to be some way to replicate
right.
that.
It makes sense that the fact of the matter is, you know, we use gas chromatography all the time. We ought to be able to identify volatile compounds. If it is successful.
A.K.A. smelly compounds.
Billy Boyle. Who invented this device, great name, Billy Boyle. If it's successful, we'll do a trial in a screening population to see if you can find it in patients who are at risk. People, again, smokers over age 50, routinely tested at home, trying to get this trial underway and expect results of their electronic sniffer dog for lung cancer early 2016. And there's also testing now an e-nose to sniff out prostate cancer and a breath test for breast cancer. So that's all I've got. That's all I know right now. But I believe, I firmly believe that we can replicate what these dogs are doing and find some way to standardize it. And it may add to our armamentarium. Right now, we do a lot of blood tests, and a lot of blood tests like the PSA are not really that good.
I don't know, Tony. It's worthy of talking about, though. I mean, because you do have to believe if the dog can smell it, then we should be able to figure out how to do some type of a correlation study to figure out, okay, what is it that they're alerting to? And then what, you know, six things could it be? And then figure out which one of those six things is representative of the cancer. I mean, you would have to believe that they could get close to smelling this through some type of electronic device.
Absolutely. I know. Rick's looking at the clock. He's saying, you can't do this.
Yeah, you can't do it.
I'm saying I can.
I'm saying go for it.
Okay. Height may be linked to increased cancer risk.
Well,
October 1st.
You want to be fast because you're not.
Because I'm short, this doesn't bother me one bit. But this was from the Karolinska Institute. Information on 5.5 million people between 1938 and 1991. That's when they were born. And they found that these people ranged from 3 feet tall to 7 feet tall. Every four inches of additional adult height was linked to an 18% increased cancer risk in women, 11% in men. More on this in our next fractional portion. But there you are, something to think about. And we're going to talk some about texting to help you with your health in our second fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the second fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the Electronic Sniffer Dog Show. I know, because we saw some things about electronic sniffer dogs, and that just sounded like a really neat name for a show. Hopefully that might get us a few curious listeners we don't know. Our sponsor for the second time, the Vaccination League, reminding you don't be late, vaccinate. Vaccination, the all-natural way to take care of influenza and other viral and bacterial illnesses without resorting to harsh chemical vitamins or antibiotics. Vaccination, like Mother Nature with a 23-gauge needle. And it is time to get your flu shot. The CDC recommends everyone age 6 months or older, with very rare exceptions, get a flu vaccine, preferably by October. There are trivalent, that is effective against three types of flu, and quadrivalent vaccines. If you can get the quadrivalent. It's better. It has four types of flu protection. However, in practice, they have turned out to be about even. So don't wait for the quadrivalent if it's not in your area. You can get inactivated flu vaccines as an injection. This is the standard IM shot. You can also, if you don't want a shot in your muscle, there are some that go underneath your skin. There is also a high-dose flu vaccine. Fluzone makes a high-dose flu vaccine, which is better in senior citizens over age 65. For young children, ages 2 through 8, the nasal spray vaccine, although it doesn't seem to carry the information is it's probably better for younger people ages 2 to 8. To be honest, it is not shown to be a lot better. I will tell you, though, if I had a 2 to 8 year old kid and I had a choice between sticking a needle in the child and spraying their nose, there is no doubt about which route I would take. Some children should not receive it. People who have asthma or wheezing, immunosuppressed people, if you have egg allergies or if you're on aspirin therapy, and if you're taking anti-flu medicines, obviously that'd be a bad time to get a flu vaccine. Remember, pregnant women, an excellent idea to protect you and your unborn child against influenza. This is the month. Got to get your flu shot. The Vaccination League recommends it, reminding you don't be late. Vaccinate. Get your flu vaccine as soon as possible. Now, Rick, I just ripped through this height cancer risk thing.
Yep.
Sweden, people born between 1938 and 1991, 5.5 million people they followed. People from 3 feet, 3 inches tall to 7 feet tall. And they found for every 4 inches of adult height, there is an 18% higher cancer risk in women, 11% higher in men. Taller women had a 20% higher risk of breast cancer, melanoma risk, 30% for every 4 inches for both men and women. There have been numerous studies that have shown this. Now, first of all, if you're taller, you've got more stuff to get cancer.
If what I heard you just say, that means somebody that's 3'3" is going to live forever.
They're not going to get cancer.
Was that because they're going to die from whatever's making them 3'3"?
That's an interesting question. You think they might die younger?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not
You know, tall people tend to die. They tend to live longer. That's true. Not that much, but they do. The other thing you got to think about, though, is what makes a tall person tall? They have, and this was actually reported, this was the European Society for Pediatric Endocrinology, so there's your clue. There are certain hormones, obviously genetic predisposition, but they have higher levels of growth hormones to cause them to grow.
Okay.
And
did you do the dissertation on this or a research paper at some point?
No.
Just curious.
Yeah, because I'm getting really technical with you here, but they have growth stuff in their body that makes them tall, and that growth stuff could make cells grow into cancer.
Is that like Gatorade or what?
I have no idea. Honestly, I don't. But I know it's an endocrinologic, pediatric endocrinology thing. So the point is, you know, more than just having more surface area, more than just being a fluke, there could be some actual mechanistic reasons why a person who grows tall might also experience unbridled growth of cancer. And that's what they pointed out. But you are right. In general, being tall for many things, you'll have a higher income, you're more likely to get the attractive women. All these type of things work very well for tall men, for women as well. Higher salaries and more attractive mates.
Yeah,
and a slightly longer lifespan in general.
It has to be somewhat of a bell curve kind of thing. I mean, you know, because I think there comes a point in time where you're 7'4", that endocrine system that's went, you know, into a massive growth mode, there's something that's going to do. I suspect you're not going to live to, you know, 90, 100, 110. You know, you tend to see the people whose shapes are, I don't want to say unusual, but they're atypical. You know, people that carry a lot of extra, you know, morbidly obese, people that are extremely tall, they don't seem to have the same, I mean, just it's not, there's no hypothesis for this. There's no, you know, research reason, but it just seems like there's a certain body shape that probably has a better chance at living longer. I mean, less stress on the heart, less stress on everything, you know. I don't know. Just makes you wonder. You look at, again, you see really a lot of heavy actors don't live as long as the thin actors. You don't see a lot of, you know, the basketball players don't tend to live as long as the soccer players.
But it is a point, Rick. If this is the case, if again, let me pull this back up. The numbers here we're talking about, every 4 inches additional adult height, 18% increased cancer risk in women, 11% in men. You would expect the NBA to be rife with cancer. Now, this was in Sweden.
Right.
And so apparently for Swedish people who are 7 feet tall, there's some bad things happening.
Or there's not many of them.
That's a good point. But I don't remember a heavy incidence of cancer among NBA players. So I'm not sure that you can generalize this to other ethnicities and other races. I'm not ready to do that. It's an interesting study, but when I read it, I was thinking about how many basketball players I knew who had died of cancer, and I don't remember an outrageous number. I didn't look to see causes of death among basketball players, but in general, I think they live a long time.
Yeah, and there's probably some element to being in an athletic sport where you're probably in shape. You know, you're probably in some of the best shape. You know, and you learn those habits and you stay in good shape. So yeah, that probably has some. I'm going to say that they probably are statistically different than a 7 foot person or a 6 foot 10 person who doesn't exercise or isn't in a profession that requires massive amounts of exercise.
Agreed. Next up, we talked about sniffer dogs and things that smell. This is some research that smelled.
No wonder you brought it on this show.
Yeah, this came from JAMA. It's the Journal of the American Medical Association, a very good journal. Study published back September 22nd, and I just happened to run across it, and I thought, this just annoys me. This was a study about sending motivational text messages to reduce your cholesterol, your blood pressure, and your body mass index. Now, Rick, I remember you responded to a text message once. Your daughter texted you during the show that your car was being towed.
Right.
And you responded to that text message.
I think so.
You changed your behavior based on that text message.
Yes.
But I think that's about the only time.
And later on that night, I got my car out of the tow lot.
Yeah. That's the only time I remember you changing your behavior based on a text message. You get a lot of text messages.
Yeah.
Do you think that if someone sent you a text message, you would change your behavior?
I think text messaging is one of the worst forms of communication the humans have ever created.
Randomized trial. 700 patients with heart disease, split in two groups. Half of them received 4 text messages per week for 6 months. The other half received their usual care.
Okay.
So the only difference was 4 text messages a week. And they were semi-personalized. This is what they say, semi-personalized. They would have your name and maybe something about your background. For instance, if you were a vegetarian, they omitted the text message that says don't eat meat, because that would have been silly. There are a lot of health-related apps on the market. Right now, your smartphone or your tablet will yell at you around the clock if that's really what you want.
Right.
You can purchase apps or even get free apps that will yell at you about absolutely everything. What you eat, where you, how much you're walking, all those things. But these are text messages that they just randomly sent. Well, I will say, not necessarily related to what the person was doing at the time. 2/3 of Americans own what we call a smartphone. Rick does not like that term. 9 out of 10 Americans have a cell phone. So you could send text messaging to anyone. And here's the odd thing that I do not understand. More than 90% of participants found this program to be useful. So the people like getting text messages about their health. Now, we at Health Matters, we don't want to leave you out of the text message revolution that's ongoing here. So I'm not making this up. We actually got, I took the article and I got 4 a week here. It looks like I've got about 3 weeks worth of text messages here, and we're going to make these out. Again, they're individualized, so we're going to make them out to a hypothetical Health Matters listener named Elmer.
Okay.
And Rick's going to read these text messages so that by the magic of radio, you can get the same benefits that these people got from the study of text messages.
These are actual text messages that would have come from Elmer.
Right, would have come to Elmer.
Come to
from
Elmer.
The study people.
From the study.
Had Elmer been in the study. So first of all, Rick, you've got 2 text messages on smoking. Go ahead and read that first one.
Elmer, try identifying the triggers that make you want a cigarette and plan to avoid them.
That's a great text message.
Yeah.
Right there, I think Elmer's going to really feel motivated by that one.
Try identifying the triggers that make you want a cigarette. Okay.
All right. What's the second one?
Elmer, for many, it may take several attempts to quit smoking, so keep trying.
It's kind of a soldier on kind of thing.
Well, don't you think that one is like, it's okay if you quit as long as you keep trying? Don't tell people it takes several attempts. Don't put the seed. Don't plant the seed.
You think you're giving Elmer license to fail?
I think so.
His first attempt.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, Elmer likes it. I mean, 90% of the people in the study like these text messages.
Okay.
We got 2 on diet. What do you got?
Did you know 90% of people don't eat the recommended daily intake of vegetables, 5 servings a day?
Now, see, that's not motivational. It's just, did you know that? No, I didn't. Well, then I must be stupid.
See, now, couldn't you have said, are you like 90% of the people who eat 5 servings of vegetables a day? Oh, by the way, that's the recommended daily intake.
Just say, Elmer, eat your freaking vegetables.
Well, I would leave out the freaking.
Why? This is motivational, though.
Elmer, we noticed you're not eating your vegetables.
That would be too personal.
All right, listen to this one.
Second diet one.
Try avoiding adding salt to your foods by using other spices or herbs.
Motivational.
Elmer, lay off the salt.
Put the salt away, Elmer. Walk away from the salt. All right, physical activity, we got 3.
Hi, Elmer. Don't forget physical activity is good for you. It reduces your risk of diabetes, heart attack, stroke, and their complications.
I like the High Elmer. You know, it's like, hey.
Yeah, right. High Elmer, have you gone for your walk today?
Now, that's one that I could see that coming out of an app. You know, why are you not walking right
well,
now?
Well, then I would say you don't have a smartphone if it doesn't know you went for a walk.
Yeah, it's almost like the phone's, oh, you're toying with me here.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Walking is cheap. It can be done almost anywhere. All you need is comfortable shoes and clothing.
You know, that's not really true.
Did you really have to put the clothing in there?
Yeah. Hey,
Elmer, take a nude walk, buddy.
Yeah, well, somehow we just take this to the ditch. I will tell you, I actually advised, when I was a resident in Richmond, Virginia, I advised one of my patients. I said, you know, why don't you walk more? And it turned out that a young man had been murdered in front of her apartment complex.
So walking more, really?
Yeah, so I mean, shoes and comfortable clothing, maybe a gun, police protection. I mean, not everybody.
German Shepherd.
Yeah, and you take the people on the, here in Eastern Kentucky, the coal trucks. You need a lot more than shoes and clothing to get by, to share the road with them.
Are we going
to
do some fun ones?
Sure. I don't know. General cardiovascular information. What do you got?
Have you got a chest pain action plan, Elmer? Find ideas at this website, Link Sent.
Yeah. They have a link there. But, you know, it's not, do you have a chest pain action plan? It's have you got, which is an odd way to, you know, it's not very grammatically correct. I think if you're going to do text messages, you got to use English.
Yeah.
Have you got a chest pain?
Well, then again, Tony, maybe this is talking to the younger generation who speak differently than us.
I say, have you got? I don't know. What else?
Studies show that stress, worry, and loneliness can increase the risk of heart disease. Please talk to your health professional if you need help.
This is your phone talking to you about loneliness.
Yeah, and stress, worry, and loneliness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, Elizabeth. Have you gone for your walk today?
That's the Elmer part. I'm sorry. I stuck that in.
Oh, is this what do you mean, or? So this is all one big text?
Yeah.
So hi, Elmer. Have you gone for your walk today?
Yeah.
Or it could say, have you taken your medications yet today? It's important to take them at the same time each day.
Now, that's handy if you get the right time.
Well, maybe they could send the text out at the same time every day.
Yeah, and then he would always go, you know, darn it, I missed them again.
But except that, oh, by the way, SMS text messages don't always arrive the moment you send them.
That's true.
People forget that.
If he's out of cell phone range,
right,
that would be bad put in.
All right.
Okay, so these are semi-personalized, based on background information, such as the smoking status and preferred name, like Elmer. And 90% of the participants found the program useful. At the end of the six-month study, those who received those text messages, those very text messages and others, had reduced their cholesterol, their blood pressure, and their body mass index. And I'm just thinking, no, I'm sorry. But I just can't see it.
They left out a very important piece of information. Is Elmer married? Because, I mean, maybe this works if you don't already have a spouse. Because my spouse would tell me all this stuff, right?
Yeah, I've got a built-in.
Wouldn't yours?
Messages.
Yeah. Wouldn't she tell you? Maybe take, you know, hey, keep trying. Well, she'd probably tell you quit smoking.
Definitely that. Definitely eat the vegetables.
Right.
I get in trouble about vegetables a lot. Matter of fact.
Hey, Tony, have we gone for the walk today?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say that. It'd say, hey, Tony, get your shoes on. We're going for a walk.
Yeah.
You'd be done.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
The phone can't do that. The phone can't bully me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, this is a good second to a, you know, good spouse.
Okay. Fair enough. Next up, and I know we're wandering kind of widely here, but this is some interesting stuff. This was from Esquire, believe it or not. August 24th.
You read Esquire?
No, but I found this and I thought it was interesting.
Oh, okay.
A guy named Tom Chiarella. And I'm going to read the first paragraph of the article that Tom Chiarella wrote in Esquire. The title was, What Happened When I Dressed Like a Priest? But there's a reason why I'm reading this on Health Matters. I have no uniform, but a great many people put a uniform on for work every day. I've often longed to wear a uniform, one that demanded something from me and the world around me. A good uniform represents. It makes sure you show up. It suggests a mission. Once you slip it on, any uniform calls for its own posture. So he bought 4 uniforms and just wore them.
He was the village people.
Well, a little bit different. He was a priest, a security guard, a mechanic, and then for purposes of our show, he was a doctor. Now, he bought the uniforms of a priest, a security guard,
it's illegal to represent yourself.
Well,
as one.
But the thing was, he just bought the uniform. He did not represent himself. He did not dispense with advice, no name tag, anything like that. He just looked like a priest or a guard or a doctor.
Sure.
Okay.
So he could have done this on 4 different Halloweens and been okay.
Yeah, and this is what he said. I bought a pair of scrubs. I got them fitted. I had my name stitched on. But the problem is everyone wears scrubs at the hospital now. So he had to figure out how to make himself look like a doctor without being a doctor. He said, I sat in a hospital beforehand. I watched the foot traffic of doctors and medical students. This is what he said, and doctors out there in the audience, be aware of this. Doctors move with a chronic urgency. They unfailingly stared into their phones and tablets distractedly or carried clipboards and stopped the flip pages rapidly. They seemed to spend significant time looking into the guts of a problem, blocking the world out around them, and had a perceptible purpose and direction to every step. So he said, all right, if I'm going to be a doctor, I've got to be that way. He said, I started walking on the street. I walked fast. I stopped only to look at my phone or to flip pages on my clipboard. I looked up the street anxiously. I pictured some destination up the street. I manufactured a problem that demanded I get there now. So I wanted people to think this guy doesn't even have time to hail a cab. Somebody needs him. He's got to be a doctor. And this is what he said happened. When he did that, he said, the world gives way for a doctor. People step aside. Cabbies wave you through intersections. He was walking pretty fast. So he said he got sweaty. He ducked into a restaurant to pick up a little AC action. And he said the problem was once he got inside, then he couldn't be urgent. So a hostess came up, and as she approached, he held up his finger and said, hold on a second. And then he stared into his phone, maybe looking for some test results or something. He just decided to stare and see how long it would last. Minutes passed. He scrolled down. He used two fingers. Nice touch, he thought. When the hostess approached again, I interrupted her again and took a step back. Just 1 sec, I said, without looking up, knowing full well that I risked being rude. The hostess said, of course, we just wanted to know, do you need a glass of water? He was not a customer anymore. He was a doctor who needed a place to work. He stepped into a sporting goods store, a bank, a waxing salon, a shoe warehouse, being a doctor. And everywhere he went, people offered him a seat. They offered to help him out. He went by past Wrigley Field, an empty skating rink. The janitor offered me his phone when he saw my phone die. You shouldn't be without a phone. Mattress warehouse. He was offered a seat on the closest bed to the door. He took a deep breath and he actually leaned back and lay down because he was exhausted, popped up and apologized. The salesman said, perfectly okay. Happens all the time, as you might imagine. You know, people are so deferential to doctors.
Are they?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you're right.
He concludes, the world wants to help a doctor. The uniform conveys a responsibility that people are willing to share. And he did not see that with his other uniforms. Something that we got to keep in mind. Working in healthcare is a great privilege. And commands respect, and we need to earn that, too.
And we all need to run around in scrubs.
We need to take a break, though. You're listening to Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio. Stay tuned for our third fractional portion.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is a rather strange and eclectic mix of topics.
It's we're heading into the Hallowed Thanksmas season, and we got to kind of get through some of the last little tidbits of fall, right?
Yep. This is the Electronic Sniffer Dog Show. Our salute to the sense of smell in diagnosis, to the ability of text messages to change behavior.
And to doctors.
And what it's like to dress like a doctor, as reported in Esquire.
I've never known that. I don't do that. Now, I do, the thing with the whole doctor thing is I'm sure this was done in a large city.
Chicago.
Yeah, it was done in a large city. We live in Moorhead. Moorhead has a population of, say, 30,000, right? If you look at the community, if you look at the region, there's really like 30,000 in the county. So there are, of the general surgeon types, there's what? At any given time, 4, 5, maybe, I don't think there's been more than 5, but sometimes 3.
Who wear scrubs.
And my wife has, been in this community for 25 years, right? So if you do, you can start doing the math. If you do so many cases per year, what's the odds that they've worked on 1 out of every 4 people in the county, right? So you can't really go anywhere in this community without somebody knowing who you are because you worked on their brother or their mother or their father or them or their kid. So that, I bet you that study would hold up a little different in a smaller community where people knew the doctors. Because if they didn't know you, they might not be the same way.
It is, though. It is humbling, and it is a responsibility that we that.
What's the nicest thing somebody's ever done for you?
Yeah.
Have you ever had somebody just do something random for you?
Yeah. Well, actually, we've had people, you know, they bring in vegetables, fruits, things like that, right, into the clinic. And I've had some, actually, a guy that really liked gave me a deal on a car.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had the, you know, I think once or twice early on, you know, over the course of these years, we've went to pay the check at dinner and somebody already paid it, you know, something like that. You know, you just, you know, it's kind of cool.
Our sponsor for the final time, the Vaccination League. Don't be late. Vaccinate. Vaccination, the all-natural way to take care of, in this case, influenza, without resorting to anti-flu medicines, which are harsh chemicals and do have effects on your body. And again, the principle of vaccination is very simple. We show your immune system a damaged, inactivated virus and let it go to town. Let it do what it does to make the antibodies that will kill the virus. At that point, you have a storehouse of antibodies ready for an actual influenza virus, a live virus, if you ever encounter one. It's a very simple principle, putting aside all the concerns about preservatives and the fact that it does come in a needle. It is a rather safe thing to do. You can do this to a lot of people of all ages, and you will very seldom run into any problems with it. And the number of lives you save easily exceeds the number of problems you cause. So this has been a public health measure that has really changed the face of influenza, of polio, mumps, measles, rubella. All these conditions have changed because of vaccination. We're talking about flu shots. You need to get your flu shot now. It is time, in fact, to do so. You can get vaccinated and still get the flu. It may shorten the period of illness, but it is not an absolute lock against influenza. The CDC recommends everyone ages 6 months or older get the vaccine, preferably by October. That includes pregnant women. We also know that for young people ages, hang on, let me pull this up and make sure I got my numbers right. I don't want to mislead. The nasal spray, the live weakened nasal spray for people ages 2 to 49 years, there is a high dose Fluzone for people over age 65 that seems to be a little better. Everyone over age 6 months should be vaccinated. According to the medical letter, if you don't have contraindications, you're over age 6 months, even if you're pregnant, you should get this. The quadrivalent, the four-strain vaccine, is preferred when it is available. High dose may be more effective than standard dose in adults over age 65, and it also appears to be safe. It is time to get your flu shot. That news from our sponsor, the Vaccination League. This time, Rick, we are talking about the decline of Big Soda. This was New York Times, October 2nd. Over the last 20 years, sales of full-calorie soda in the U.S. have plummeted by more than 25%. Soda consumption rocketed in the 60s through the 1990s. Now, a serious and sustained decline. Sales of bottled water have shot up. Bottled water is now on track to overtake soda as the largest beverage category in 2 years.
Yeah.
An interesting thing. Single largest change in the American diet in the last decade is this drop in soda consumption.
It's probably good, too, don't you think?
Better than kale, which we have talked about some. Better than, I think it is a good trend. It has been at least linked to, although we're not sure it's caused it, but we have had some leveling off of our obesity rates. The problem with these full-calorie sodas is they give you tons of calories without making you the least bit full.
Right.
And so they're almost like you're just getting pumped with free calories. From 2004 to 2012, children consumed 79 fewer sugar-sweetened beverage calories a day, according to a government survey. That's a 4% cut in calories for kids, moving from 2004 to 2012. Obesity rates in school-age children appear to have leveled off, and Philadelphia actually dropped a little bit because they had a sustained debate about possibly a beverage tax. And during that time, the anti-beverage people were able to make their points about the dangers of these full-calorie carbonated beverages. So, and the beverage industry knows this. Frankly, they have, in some cases, tried to market other drinks as substitute for beverages. They do sell bottled water, but the problem is you don't really have any brand loyalty for bottled water. Coca-Cola versus Pepsi, you have an opinion.
Right.
Water versus water, you don't. Whichever bottled water is most convenient, that's the one you get.
Is that true for you?
You have a brand of bottled water you like?
Yes.
My goodness. For me, yes.
Well, I mean, but think about it, Tony. If you've walked into the store, you've seen Smart Water, you've seen Fuji Water or Fiji Water, you've seen all these different brands, you know, and really in the end, they're all just water. But there's something for me about Dasani, the Coke version. I don't know what it is, but it actually, I don't know if they've you know, laced it with something. I don't know, but I it seems to me I can tell a difference with it.
I am trying not to laugh at you, Rick.
You can laugh all you want, but it's fact, buddy.
Water For me, water is water. As a matter of fact,
do we know it's water?
Bottle water.
Do we know it's exactly the same?
Listen, I'd be fine getting it out of a fountain. I'm refilling bottles.
It
just seems silly.
Okay.
Honestly, you and I, I am not a water connoisseur.
I will walk past the Deer Park water. I will not. I just won't
I think that's an unfortunate name. I cannot imagine wanting water that came from a deer park.
Well, I'm just saying. But
you don't know what's in that water. It sounds awful.
You know, Aquafina. I don't like. I mean, I'm a Dasani guy. I like the Dasani water.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And you know what it could be, Tony? The honest truth, it could be that the type of bottle they use is more appealing to drink from. You know, there's certain ones that have a really small lid. You know, they don't pour the same. But I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But I'm an idiot when it comes to Dasani.
I'll just let that statement
me.
Yeah, true. We're friends.
And you know, here we are, 600 shows later, and you're still dealing with the Dasani.
This is the cross I bear. As a matter of fact, yeah. Well, I don't like Evian because it's naive spelled backwards, and I just think they're making
right.
That's something they're making fun of me.
Well, and I won't go for one that has to go into just a weird shaped bottle. If you got to put your smart water in a big bottle or the Fiji water in a little square bottle, when I was at Dell last fall, they had it was a Texas brand water, and it was in a Lone Star kind of, it was a bottle that looked like the Alamo. You know, it was square and it had a shape, you know, it was like, come on, really? It's just water. But in the end, I am somewhat of a fan of which I assume the Dasani brand is a Coke brand. So I think they must be lacing it with something.
You think so? I mean, you know how.
I have no evidence for that. I have no evidence other than the fact that I like buying it.
Well, this article says that there's really no brand loyalty, but obviously there is among some people anyway. But the exciting thing is, right, I mean, I think our generation has more problems with sodas right now than the young people. My kids, they just don't drink them.
I think you're right. I think, you know, you see people drinking these new, you see a lot of these new teas, you see a lot of these new, citrusy drinks. My guess is there'll be a new wave of sugary substances that'll cause problems. I mean, say what you will, but humans just like sweets. We just like them. We like them in our drink. We like them in our ice cream. We like them in our candy. I mean, there's a fascination with sweets.
You know, it's interesting because they have obviously a choice of many beverages, and a lot of them are going to water. And I wonder if that's what's going to happen in some way with our drug culture as well, that we are seeing we're seeing the decline of prohibition as a method of managing drugs, and our young people are going to be bombarded with drugs. Certainly some of them are going to run into problems, but maybe some of the others will say, you know, I choose not to use these drugs in the same way that this generation has decided that soft drinks are really not the right way to go, that sodas are not right.
You can only hope. I mean, you know.
Because I think trying to legislate this or trying to prohibit it, whether it's a certain size of soft drinks or whether it's, frankly, whether it's drugs, we look for years, we've been trying some form of prohibition, and the soft drinks may offer us at least some glimpse of an alternative strategy to try to raise healthy young people.
Well, I think, you know, and I think we make a big enough deal, and there's so much news media out there, and there's so many outlets that young people can get information, even, you know, even if they're not really even trying to, that would suggest there's more to living a healthy life than, you know, drinking soda. I mean, you know, they're basically talking about getting rid of the soda. They're talking about getting rid of the fat, getting that out of your diet, you know, doing something that's got, you know, doesn't have a ton of carbs in it, but yet has proteins and all the various balances of nutrients that you need. And so I just think that, you know, my kids in general eat better than I did. They just do. And you know, that is absolutely nothing. I had nothing to do with it. I mean, they just, and I suspect yours probably eat better than you did.
Yes.
And they're more cognizant of what they're doing to their body. And that's great. I mean, we can only hope that the generations beyond us continue to behave in that manner.
Next up, as befits the Sniffer Dog Show, I've actually got some things about vision because I thought, why spend all our time on smell?
Right.
Which we didn't do anyway.
So, yeah, but this is the all-around show anyway. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is all over the place.
These are fun facts about vision. One of them, running or walking, and this is, by the way, from the back in May, again, New Scientist, which is a kind of a research summary journal that I really like. Running or walking reduces your chance of getting cataracts. Study of over 40,000 people, studied for 6 years, showed that, again, that exercise does. Nobody knows why. Also, running may reduce your risk of getting macular degeneration. That's a leading cause of blindness in developed countries. So who knew? We talked about being outdoors and nearsightedness a couple of shows ago, and it looks like, again, being in the outdoors and exercising regularly is a good idea. A couple of other fun facts about your vision. Eye drops made from your own blood.
Ooh.
Sounds like kind of one of those things that they would do in Hollywood, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, and how would you do that?
Well, here's the thing. If you do not make enough tears, your eyes are dry, they're painful, ordinary eye drops don't have antibodies, growth factors, and nutrients present in natural blood, natural tears. But if you make tears, a natural tears formulation out of your own blood, it does have those things. And since it's your own blood, it's not going to be, it's not going to cause an allergic
reaction.
Don't
you put drops in to get rid of bloodshot eyes, not put drops in to make your eyes bloodshot?
Well, you would take these, what you would do is you take your serum and turn that into some artificial tears. Interesting idea. And especially for people with chronic dry eyes, maybe an alternative to the commercially manufactured. Yeah, it seems to, for if you've got dry eyes,
it's got to be an expensive process.
I don't think that's going to be cheap. You're absolutely right. Another fun fact, if you have glaucoma, which is increased pressure in the eyes, about 2% of people over age 40 have this. If you do those inversion things, you know, where you turn yourself upside down, doubles your eye pressure.
Ooh. Your
not a good thing
pressure?
To do. Yeah. Yoga and things like that. If you have glaucoma, you need to talk to your doctor because that will change your pressure. TV, not bad for your eyes. In fact, video games are actually good for your eyes. People who do the shooter games, you can imagine, they're really pretty good at sensing things.
Right.
They show up better on a lot of vision tests.
They can see subtle changes.
Yeah, because you're used to looking for them. Reading in poor lights, that's not bad for your eyes.
That's not bad for your eyes. It's just hard to do.
Yeah, doesn't do any harm, according to eye specialists. Here's one. Eye surgery, LASIK surgery, is actually safer long-term than use of contact lenses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that from potential damage, or
yep.
is it?
The chance you will need a corneal transplant, 1 in 3,000. The chance you will get a corneal infection from contact lenses, 1 in 2,000. Now, admittedly, if you take good care of your contact lenses, your risk is lower than other people. But just taking all contact lens people and all LASIK people are less likely to wind up needing a corneal transplant than contact lens people.
Yeah, you've removed the human care from the equation.
Basically. So kind of an interesting thought and some interesting stuff on eye disease.
This whole show has just been an interesting thought.
I guess so. Can you see your way out?
Special thanks to Morehead State Public Radio producer Hunter Reese and to Eric Bilbrey, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org or visit us on Facebook. Just do a search for HM Radio Show.
For our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thanks for listening to our show, and remember,
Health Matters is a prescription radio show used along with diet and exercise to lower blood sugar in adults with type 2 diabetes. Health Matters is not for people with type 1 diabetes or for people with diabetic ketoacidosis.
Women who listen to Health Matters may get infections in the diaper area. Talk to your doctor if you experience odor, discharge, which may be lumpy or look like cottage cheese, or itching of the diaper area.
Men who listen to Health Matters may also get a used infection of the diaper area, especially with those with chronic conditions. Talk to your doctor if you experience redness, itching or swelling, rash, foul-smelling discharge, or pain in the diaper area.
Health Matters can cause some people to have dehydration due to the loss of body water and salt. Dehydration may cause you to feel dizzy, faint, lightheaded, or weak, especially when you stand up.
You may be at higher risk for dehydration if you have low blood pressure, take water pills, have kidney problems, or are 65 years old.
Whatever you do, do not take Health Matters lying down. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life, and tune in next week as we explain how a yeast infection causes your buns to rise on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.